Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now Wednesday night and time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. It is always an honor and a privilege to come before you and to be with you on Wednesday night, the time that each and every one of us who call in has assigned and set aside for us to spend time with God. It is always so exciting for me to be able to go before God's people with a word. It's not about me. I didn't go looking for it. God came looking for me. And he has given me a word because I allow him to use myself as a vessel. I just want to thank each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedule. I know tonight I sent the notice that I would be on a little late, but during the busyness of today, I forgot to post the message, but God still reminded me. I'm in Macomb, Mississippi at this time with Madison, and we're having a little vacation, but, you know, we can't take a vacation away from God and what he assigned for us to do. So tonight I want you to know it is well with my soul, and I pray that you feel the same way. And before we get in the lesson, we have to go to the throne of grace and give God the honor that he deserves so that he could be in the midst of what we're going to do and accomplish here on tonight. And Madison is here, so I would imagine he's going to pray, and after that I'll play a song. But I want you to know the title of the lesson tonight is God Always Attaches Provisions for Your Purpose. God always attaches provisions for your purpose. Everything that God created has a purpose. And God, in his awesome and ultimate wisdom and his desire for us to succeed, because you see, every purpose that was designed was for his glory. And that's why he provided the provisions. So it's not predicated on you other than you submitting and obey. But God has given us everything we need to do the things of God for our success. The lesson is coming from Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 21st through the 31st verse. And I pray that you had time to read it. At this time, I'm going to bring Madison on the mic and allow him to go to God's throne of grace. And once he's completed, we're going to go into the lesson. And after he's finished, we're going to play a song that I think is necessary for the mood for tonight. And then we're going to go into the lesson. So be prayerful with him and pray for the Bible study that's going to go forth. And then we will continue. Be blessed.
First, I want to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and good evening. God, thank you for waking all of us up this beautiful day and reminding us to tune in to the Bible study that is online and have people tune in to learn more things about you, God. Thank you. Just thank you. And please let the people know that are tuning in that you're watching over them and that they know that you're watching over them. And they know that each day they're feeling blessed and that they know that they have God in case anything goes wrong. Thank you, God, for being with us every single day, even though we might not see it, but he's always there. Thank you, God, for allowing us to know that you're there because not everybody knows that you're there for them. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. Thank you so much. It was a needed prayer. I believe, and it was in order. And that's what God wants us to be in position, in order. So since the prayer's gone forth, we then open up the Bible study. Just be prayerful and continue just to be in the Bible study. Don't just be listening, but be a part with your mind, your heart, your body, and your soul. Ask the Holy Spirit with a spirit of expectancy that the word that is given out won't return void. Ask God to open up your ears and let you be attentive to what's being said. And he will. So right now I'm going to play the song, and it's called In the Middle Of, and I think it's so appropriate. So listen to the words of the music, and when we come back, we're going to explore the word of God together. Thank you.
It seems hard to see I care for you, and sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh,
when you cry. Times I must question your faith.
That's a record saying I'm in the middle of. It's a record that's so true. You know, it's a record that God is letting you know no matter what's going on, he's right there in the middle of it. Because the scripture lets us know that there's nothing that can happen to us that can take God by surprise. God has ordained everything before the foundation of the world. He created everything for his glory. And he set you up to have success, not to fail. But you got to be obedient, you got to submit, and you got to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into all righteousness and truth. That's where your success lies. Our lesson tonight, I'll say it again because so many more callers has called in, but our lesson tonight is God always attaches provisions for your purpose. We're coming from the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 21st through the 31st verse. So what you say, you know, Sister Diane, what you're saying, attach provision for your purpose. Everything that God created has a purpose. Not one thing was created without a purpose. So that should let you know you have a purpose. And God designed your purpose for you. And God expects your purpose to be fulfilled. But what he did, because of who he is, he attached the provisions necessary for you to accomplish your purpose. Hallelujah. He always attached. You know, when we look at attached, when I was doing this lesson, the thing, the little paper clip on a computer just come into my mind. You know, when you put something on a computer and you're sending out an email, you might say who you are and what it's from, but you say, I'm attached what is necessary for to make everything clear. The attachment is what put the more emphasis on it. The attachment may tell you how to do it and why you should do it and all of this. So the lesson is God always attaches provisions for your purpose. You got to believe it. Yes, God do want to accomplish some things in your life, but he didn't say it would be all up to you, because Philippians 2 and 13 said it is I that work in you to find and to get my good pleasures, which means purposes. So trust God so that your purpose may be fulfilled. Trust him. And you first got to know that you do have a purpose, and it wasn't designed by you. That's why people always say, I didn't go looking for God. God came looking for me. Paul in the Bible was going on down the Damascus Road. He wasn't looking for God, but that purpose that God had designed for him before the foundation of the world was now the time that God was going to start working it. And he had to know, Paul himself, that he did have a purpose so that he could submit and obey. Come on, y'all. Moses was minding his business, the way the scripture's coming from tonight. And God met Moses and told Moses his design purpose. And Moses made all kind of excuses. I can't talk. I'm not smart. I'm not this. What do that tell you? They did not go looking for God. God came looking for them. And God came looking for you, because Jesus loved you before you loved yourself. And what God's got for you, he's got for you. There's some things that can't, I ain't going to say can't happen, but won't happen unless you do it, because it's your purpose. So we're going to go ahead into the lesson tonight. And I always do a background. And, of course, this is the Exodus is a book written by Moses. But Moses also wrote Genesis, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Exodus. You know, he wrote the first five books in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these books are called the books of the law, but they're also called the Pentateuch. And plenty of times people see the Pentateuch, so I had to look it up because I know the books of the law, and they call them the law because the law was given, and God spoke to his people, to Moses, and Moses ascribed this book. But the Pentateuch is a Greek word, and if you break it down, the penta means five, and the tush means scrolls. In the old days, they wrote on scrolls. So they had five books that was written on scrolls. And each one of those scrolls was either Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or the Deuteronomy. And that's why they called them the Pentateuch. You see, Moses is one of the most prominent figures in the Old Testament. Moses was the man chosen by God to bring redemption to his people. God especially chose Moses to lead the Israelites from captivity in Egypt to salvation. That sounds like Jesus, huh? Moses was the one chosen by God to lead the Israelites from captivity in Egypt to salvation, which we know we mean to save. From captivity in Egypt to salvation in a promised land. Moses is also recognized as the mediator of the new covenant and is commonly referred to as the giver of the law. Well, we know that. Finally, Moses is the principal author of the Pentateuch, which is the foundational books of the entire Bible. If you haven't read the first five books of the Bible and the law, you know, and the Pentateuch, I suggest you do because it's the fundamental books of the entire Bible. Moses' role in the Old Testament is a type and shadows of the role Jesus played in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Moses went to Egypt and freed the people. In the New Testament, Jesus come on the scene and frees the people. The people in Egypt were slaves, and we were slaves in bondage. We had bondage of sin, and Jesus came, and he took us in. Hallelujah. Everything in the Old Testament points to the New Testament. Some people want to argue all day long about the Old Testament doesn't count, and we're not living under the Old Testament. But Jesus told them, I did not come to condemn the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. And you got to get that to understand. And you cannot understand the New Testament in its fullness until you visit the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God was speaking. Hallelujah. You want to hear God talking? Go to the Old Testament. And the things God say gonna knock you off your feet. It's so smooth and it's so true and it's so, you know, elegantly spoken. You want to hear God speak? Go to the Old Testament. But tonight we first encounter Moses in the opening chapter of the book of Exodus. You see, in chapter 1, we learn that the patriarch Joseph. Now, y'all know Joseph was one of the 12 tribes of Egypt, 12 tribes of Israel, I'm sorry, and he was sold by his brothers, and he went to Egypt. And then, you know, they had a famine in the land, and everybody had to go to Egypt. Joseph, with the provision, Joseph was provided a provision for his purpose, and he interpreted dreams. Now, I just threw that in just now because it just came to me. But Joseph was provided the provision for his purpose. And Joseph had the ability to interpret dreams. And Joseph interpreted the dreams, and he got to be the big man in Egypt. And nobody had food, so everybody had to come to Egypt, and they had to go before Joseph. You see, and Joseph's family didn't have anything, and they came, y'all. If you don't know the story of Joseph, go back because it's just not enough time for me to elaborate on all of that. But Joseph had favor for generations in Egypt. But they had a new king that came, and that particular king didn't know Joseph. He didn't have no relationship with Joseph. And besides that, the Israelites was growing in rapid numbers. They had was beginning to get more people. They had more cattle. You know, they just was prosperous. because God was with them. And the Egyptians began to fear the increasing numbers of Jews in their land. So they ordered the death of all the male children born to the Hebrew women. See, some people are, you know, they call this, at one time they was calling the death of all black youth the X generation. You know, people will do things and have things in place for you not to succeed and multiply. And they create ways for you to divide. So you got to really be paying attention and see what's going on. And like I tell you all the time, there's nothing new under the sun. And, you know, the things that we've seen happen in the day that already happened before. And come on, y'all. This king ordered all of the male children born to the Hebrew women to be killed. How would you like to see that on 10 o'clock news? You would be very appalled, but it's nothing new. You see, but Moses' mother through the wisdom and direction given by God attempt to save our child and place him in a basket and put him in the Nile. You see, God had a purpose for Moses. And he gave the provisions. His mother put him in a basket and put him in the Nile, and the basket was found by Pharaoh's daughter, provisions. And she adopted him as her own and raised him in a palace of Pharaoh himself. That lets you know what's for you is for you. You see, you can see the hand and work of God. God was going to create Moses, allow Moses to be born, and before the foundation of the world, decided that God knew that the Israelite would be enslaved in Egypt, and he knew that he would free them at some time, and he knew who he wanted to do it before Moses was born. Hallelujah. What God has for you is for you, and God always attaches provisions for your purpose. You see, because children back then had to be breastfed, you know, there was no formula and no baby bottles and no this and that. The mother took care of the baby from her body. And, of course, the king daughter was not able to do this. She didn't have no baby. She didn't have milk in her breast. So she needed to hire someone, and lo and behold, God allowed her to hire Moses' mama. Feed her own child, unbeknownst to the Pharaoh's daughter, that was Moses' mother. And not only was Moses' mother able to nurse her child, the princess paid her. Look at God. And as Moses grew up into adulthood, he began to emphasize with the plight of the people. And you know, seeing all the injustice that the Egyptians was doing to the Israelites, something in him knew that he was a part of them. Come on now. And he knew he just didn't like the oppressions being done to them. You know, so Moses got mad, so mad one time he intervened and he killed an Egyptian. You know, so plenty of times you hear that Moses is a murderer, and now you know where that comes from. You see, Moses' life generally can be broken down into three 40-year periods. The first is his life in the court of Pharaoh. So evidently Moses stayed there from a child till he was 40 as the adopted son of Pharaoh. Moses could have had all the perks and privileges of the king of the prince of Egypt. He was instructed in all wisdom in all of Egypt. He was mighty in his words and deeds. But something inside him knew he didn't really belong there, and he wanted to be in his place, to be in position, and to be used by God. Hallelujah. He gave it all up. You see, Moses needed to grow and mature and to learn to be meek and humble before God. And this brings us to the next chapter in Moses' life, his 40 years in the land of Midian. Midian. During this time, Moses learned the simple life as a shepherd, a husband, and a father. You know, Moses, when he ran, he went there. And when he got there, he went by his uncle, and he had some daughters, and he wanted one of the daughters so bad. And he asked the uncle, what could he do? And the uncle said, well, give me 7 years of work, and I'll give it to you. Well, the uncle had two daughters, and one of the daughters, the daughter he wanted was younger than the other daughter. And in those days, it wasn't good for the second to the oldest to marry before the first. So when Moses finished working him 7 years, the daddy got him drunk. You see, that's why God don't want you to drink. It's not that drinking going to keep you out of hell or it's going to put you in hell. But he didn't say you couldn't drink. He said, do things in moderation. And the reason he don't want you to drink is because you don't know what's going on. He wants you to always be sober and vigilant because the devil, the adversary, is coming around and seeking whom he may devour. He don't want you to get intoxicated and abbreviated because you cannot handle yourself. You don't know your surroundings. Moses got drunk. The dad sent the older daughter in there. And after he had, as the Bible says, went into her, she was his wife. Nothing he could do. He was mad. He went to the dad and said, well, why would you do something like this? But it was already done. He said, okay, it's done. What can I do to get the one I want? He said, give me 7 more years. Hallelujah. So Moses had to be, you know, Moses coming out the palace, he had a little arrogance with his way. You know, he was a little prideful and you know, he had everything he wanted and he could get what he wanted and he could do what he wanted because of the position he was in. But God had already ordained for him to free the Egyptians, and even though he had it all, he knew something was missing. And then he took on the plight of the Israelites and killed the man, and he ran. And then the 40 years, he was out there working and being a husband and tending to the sheep. See, God wanted him to get with the sheep so he could learn how to be a good shepherd. Hallelujah. So this period, this second year, 40-year period, was getting him ready for his assignment. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. This was ready. The first part was a part of salvation because if they wouldn't have put him in the Nile, he wouldn't have been saved because he would have been killed. The second part was and he was in his training. Come on now. God delivered him in the first and now he's training him in the second. You see, look at the hand of God with a purpose. And God is doing the same thing with each one of us. We might not understand it and we can't see it clearly, but God is working it out for our good. And God's purpose for our life is going to be fulfilled. He's going to be fulfilled now. It's going to be fulfilled later, but it's going to be fulfilled. You see, Moses needed time to grow and mature and learn to be meek and humble for God. That's why he had to go to Meridian for them, come on now, 40 years. And you see, the third and final chapter in Moses' life is the chapter that Scripture spends the most time. It's his role with the redemption of Israel. Come on now. When Moses got them out of Egypt and they went to the wilderness, it was 40 years. 40 years. Several lessons can be gleaned from the chapter of Moses' life. God ordained and assigned the purpose to Moses to free the Israelites from their bondage of slavery before he was born. You see, the same hot temper got Moses into trouble in Egypt. It got him into trouble during the wilderness wandering. A forementioned incident where, you know, in Egypt, he hit the man died. And now, while in the wilderness, Moses struck the rock in anger in order to provide water for the people. However, he did not give God the glory. it's dangerous to try to take glory from God. You got to realize everything you are, everything you have, everything you got, everything you will got, everything you ever had, every breath you take, every move you make is God. Give him the glory. See, however, he didn't give God the glory when he hit that rock, nor did he follow God's precise commandment. Because of this, God forbid him from entering the promised land. Now, just because he didn't enter the promised land, that didn't mean God didn't love him. Because the scriptures say God buried him with his own hand. And when they had the transformation on the mountain, and it was Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, God's giving Moses his props. He didn't get to the promised land, but he fulfilled his purpose. Hallelujah. And that just goes to show you, everything is not for everybody. Moses did not get to the promised land, but he led him there. God buried him with his own hand. And see, to this day, nobody's never found his body. God got a special place for Moses. Moses, all right, but he didn't get to the promised land. So everything you think you should get, you look at that and say, well, Moses did all of that weaving and wobbing and being with those, you know, people aggravating and doing all this, and he rattled with them, and he did this, and he should have got. You don't make the decisions God do. One thing it says, Moses did fulfill his purpose. And God has a special place for Moses, and that's that. And if we go to the verses, I'm going to read 21 and 22. They say, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the left and on their right. You see, the people thought that there was no way for them to run or hide. They hadn't got out of Egypt. They was in Egypt. Moses had got them free. They go into the promised land, and they come to this place where the lesson starts tonight. They come up to the Red Sea. Now, there's a big Red Sea of water, and we're going to learn that mountains was behind them. So this is where we at right now. The people thought that there was nowhere to run. When they saw Pharaoh's soldiers coming, they were afraid, and they began to grumble against God and Moses. They said they would have rather been slaves than to die in the desert. Somewhere in another scripture they have, wasn't there graves in Egypt? Did you have to bring us to the desert for us to die? Moses answered the people and said, look, do not be afraid. Stay firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring on you today. You see, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Now that's powerful. He said, the ones you see today, you'll never see again. You see, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That's what happened to so much of us. We in a battle, and we moving left to right and left to right, and God trying to do it. God said, if you're going to fight the battle, I'm going to stand and look at you. Or you could trust me and stand over there and look at me. You make the decisions with your feet, with your thoughts, your deeds, and your actions. Hallelujah. Just be still sometimes. But don't be still before your time now. They were not holding on to the confession of their faith. At this time, they were free and blessed with the provisions they didn't work for, that they were given to by the Egyptians. And all they could do is complain. Let me show you how God is. When God told them, y'all going to leave out here, but before y'all leave, y'all go up to them Egyptians and you ask them for anything you want. And they're going to give it to you. They came out there with jewelry. They came out there with gold. They came out there probably with everything they wanted, because people will be greedy. But whatever they asked, the Egyptians gave them to them. and they walked out of Egypt with that in their hand. How you like that? See, I told you God always attaches attaches provisions to your purpose. You see, to them, they seemed to be trapped. They had a mountain that stood on one side, the Red Sea in front of them, the angel of God, and you know, the Red Sea in front of them. God had his angel and a pillar and a cloud which stood between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, and that's how he protected them. Come on now, y'all. Provisions. Then Moses stretched his hand over the sea. When you are at your end, believing that you have no way out, God shows up and shows off because he is in total control. You see, he caused the sea to go back. And the sea, you see, he caused the sea to go back. But it was the sea he created. And he used a strong wind. And that was the wind he created. Hallelujah. God created everything. And he used everything for his glory. And he uses everything he created for you and your purpose. But you got to believe it to achieve it. Hallelujah. And then the water was divided into dry land. Look at God. You know, these just are some of the provisions that were attached to Moses' purpose. If you study Moses in the books, the first five books, you'll see what I'm talking about. And if we read 23 through 25, and it says, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. All of them got after the Israelites. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the hosts of Egyptians. See, they went after him, but you see, they thought they was up against the Egyptians, but they didn't realize who the Egyptians belonged to. That's how you have to realize in your life. You know, that's why I try to be careful how I treat people and how what I do and say to, and you know, people and things like that, because you don't know who God got their hand on, and it ain't nothing nice to fool with a child of God. They showing it right here. They jumped in the sea behind them, and God troubled them. And 25th say he took off the chariot wheels. Cool, hallelujah. How they gonna ride in a chariot without no wheels? That they draw them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. That's deep. You see, after suffering the devastating plagues sent by God, you know the story. God, Moses kept telling them, let them go, and God allowed 9 plagues to come on, the flies, the geese, the blood turning, the water turning into blood, you know, the locusts, and you know, it was 9 plagues, and the last one was the firstborn of everything to die, and the king's son died, and finally he let him go. And you know, you would think that was enough, but I'm saying now, after suffering the devastating plague sent by God, the Pharaoh of Egypt decided to let the Hebrew people go. Yeah, he let them go as Moses has asked. God told Moses he would get glory over Pharaoh and prove that the Lord is God. And just for those who may not know, because I didn't know it either at one time, but Pharaoh wasn't the name of the king. Pharaoh mean king. So when they say Pharaoh, they're talking about the king of Egypt at that time, because all kings were pharaohs. And prove that the Lord is God. after the Hebrews left Egypt, the king changed his mind and was angry that he had lost his source of slave labor. One of the reasons he didn't want him to go because he was building a massive building and they were his slaves. Hallelujah. You see, and what he did, he got together 600 of his best chariots and every other chariot in the land that he could, and he marched against them to pursue them. God slowed them down, and they got in the water and got troubled, and they start kind of recognizing who God was and that he was with the Israelites. But, you know, don't let it happen to you when it's too late. Because, you see, they was out there. They realized they could turn back. They would want to turn back and let it go because they recognized who God was. But it was a little too late. And that's what's going to happen to so many people. Don't let it be too late. It's my prayer. Find God while the blood is running warm in your veins. And do the things of the God while you can. You see, in 26, 27, and 28, they say, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the water may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. Come on now, y'all. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the water returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one. You know, the people got to realize your arm's too short to box with God. And you can't be God no matter how hard you try. You see, during the night, the Israelites fled through the sea and a wall of water and the wall of water to their right and to their left. But the Egyptian army charged in after them, watching the chariot race ahead. Come on now. God is looking. Just like that record say we just heard. He's right there in the middle of it. God was watching and he saw the chariots race ahead. God threw the army into panic, clogging their wheels to slow them down. Once the Israelites were safe on the other side, God commanded Moses to stretch out his arm again. And the sea rolled back in, covering the Egyptian army, its chariots, its horses. No, not one man survived. And our last scriptures, 29, 30, and 31, reads, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall upon them on the left and the right. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptian die upon the shore. And Israel saw the great works which the Lord did upon the Egyptian. And the people feared the Lord, and they began to believe the Lord. And not only they believed the Lord, they believed Moses. It took all of that for Moses. It took all that Moses had did for them finally to believe that he was working with a little something. So now they believe Moses. You see, God uses everything he created for his glory and your success. God is always working things out together for your good, if you love him. Like the record tonight say, God is in the middle of whatever going on in your life right now. You know, it might be debt, it might be sickness, it may be finances, it may be having a hard time dealing with the things going on in the world. You know, it may be a hard time with some family members. It could be a hard time, you know, I think I said health, but no matter what you're going through, God is in the middle of it. We just have to stand like God told Moses to tell the people, stand and be still. And it's so amazing to God had the Israelites as they promised, as his promised people. And today there's so many Jews, which are Israelites, who don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they constantly praying to God to send them Messiah, send them a Messiah. Now the Jews of this day and this generation didn't see him part the Red Sea. But the Jews has did a pretty good job keep bringing it and trying to educate the other generation, something that we as black people don't do. And yet they don't believe. That's why God say we're going to be so blessed, because we believe and haven't seen, and some of them had seen and didn't believe. But as I come to the close tonight, I just want y'all to know God is truly in control. God ordained Moses to do this. When Moses was born and they told him to bring them all the Hebrew children, the Hebrew boys, so they could kill him, Moses' mom and his daddy looked at him and said, this child is special. And rather than bringing him and allowing him to be heard, they had to, can you imagine they had to shut him up? You know, keep his mouth closed for so long. And when they got, when they couldn't control it no more, they put him in a basket in the Nile. And the daughter, the king daughter, get him. Hallelujah. And his mother's able to nurse her child and get paid. Understand the hand of God. God said what he did for Moses, he'll do for you. Now, it ain't going to be like Moses or have the same purpose as Moses, but the provisions and the attachment and everybody has a purpose is real. That was Moses, but you got one. And each and every one of our purposes is just as important as the other, because all of it is necessary for the kingdom. Hallelujah. And as I close tonight, the Lord who parted the Red Sea provided provisions for the Israelites in the desert. We know the story. They was in the desert for 40 years. That was the last part of Moses' 40-year series out of history. You know, they say their shoes didn't go out, wear out. When they got hungry, he gave them bread from heaven. And just ungratefulness, they got tired of eating bread, even though they was full beyond measures. And they wanted meat, and God allowed the birds to come from the sky. Whenever they wanted water, he provided it. And evidently it still wasn't enough. That's what God's doing in a lot of people's lives. God gave you everything that's necessary, and yet you're not satisfied. But the same God who parted the Red Sea provided provisions for the Israelites and raised Jesus from the dead. I want you to know it's the same God we worship today. The Lord has already prepared everything you would need before he created you so that you could do what you were born to do. and in turn, he would get the glory. You see, the Lord and his purposes are perfect, but we must realize that we are not. We sometimes fill our heads with doubt during our busy lives, and it keeps us from living out the purpose that he established for us. The Bible assures us that the Lord has created us and given all of us a purpose and has attached all of the provisions necessary to perform. Once God has established his purpose for your life, no one can do anything to change it. Come on, y'all. No one. Sometimes we get so busy and wrapped up in our lives that we forget the purpose behind them, the true purpose, the ultimate goal, God's will for our lives. Understand that we are in the kingdom and all of us have work in the kingdom. We have to remember, no matter what's going in this life, that God has a greater purpose. And if you continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands, he will see you through. Your purpose is real. Your purpose is your purpose is necessary. And your purpose is where your true success is. That's our lesson for tonight. And I have a caller with the button press. Caller, your number is 225-614. I'm going to open your mic. Caller? I don't know if you guys can still hear me, but I'm still on the line. Just hold on. Glory, hallelujah. I got knocked off the air. I thought I could still hold on. But caller, your number is 225-614. Your mic is open. Hello? Well, I don't hear anything. Would anybody would like to have a comment? Anybody have a question, a comment, or concern? God is truly in the blessing business. And everything that, every purpose that he assigned to us is tailor-made. And the way he look at it, ain't no big purpose and a little purpose. You know, Moses freed the Israelites from Egyptian. You might just save somebody out of burning building. One person. But God has no respect to person. And every purpose is equally as important to the other. Would anybody like to pray? Would anybody like to add something to the message? You could press the one button on your phone. Well, if not, it's 9:25. We started a little earlier tonight. We ended a little earlier tonight. So we do have a little time if someone would like to talk. If not, I'm going to go ahead and close out with prayer and give a benediction. And if the Lord say the same, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. So since no one has the buttons, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer, and we're going to go ahead and end for tonight. And if the Lord say the same, we'll be back on next week. I'm in Macomb, Mississippi, Madison and myself. We just took this little time to get away. But, you know, you can't take vacation from God's word. And it's a little funny being set up in a studio here and the way I have to do it to get everything done. But God is able. God always attaches provisions to your purpose. And I'm a living witness. And, you know, to show you how true it is, I'm in Macomb, Mississippi. I don't have internet in this house. And me and Madison was trying to see how we was going to work it out with the cell phones because they got, you know, we have internet on the cell phone. But when I got to the house, I went in one room. You know, I know I ain't had internet because I ain't paying for it and it's not in the house. And finally, when I came to this room here and I cut the computer on and the internet popped up. So I'm able to use, you know, my laptop. I wasn't able to have a printed program because I don't have a printer here. And I wasn't able to use my house phone. I had to use a cell phone, which I try to not to do because, you know, they could act up sometimes. But I just want to let you know I'm a living witness that God attaches provisions to your purpose. Step out on it. Begin to do it. He's not setting you up to giving you what you need. You just got to show up. You got to submit, and you got to obey and let God fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let him have his way, and he will fix it for you. Well, that's our program for tonight, and I'm going back to the throne of grace just to say thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I came to you to the throne of grace with my grandson, dear God, to open up and ask for what we wanted. And now, God, I'm coming back to you and saying thank you for everything that you went allowed to go forth, every person you allowed to call, dear God, every heart that you were able to touch, dear God, every ear that you open up, dear God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that the word don't return void. And Holy Spirit, I pray unto you that you give your people illumination and revelation. Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every person that call here be blessed and favors on their lives and the lives of their families, dear God, their neighborhoods, their cities, their state and our country. Heavenly Father, I pray that the things that's going on in the election, dear God, you know who we want, dear God, but it's not our will, but your will, Lord. But we pray that you do allow the best thing for your people to happen, dear God. We're living in wicked times, and I realize evil is going to do what evil does, but your word said that evil will not win over good. It may not look good, dear God. It may not taste good. It may not feel good, dear God. But because you're still in the control, everything is going to be all right. Teach us, dear God. Lead us and guide us to all righteousness and truth. Lord, I just thank you for being God and doing what you want, when you want, how you want, for who you want. Because that's what makes you God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, God. I thank you for your son and I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for all of the characters in the Bible like Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because you're showing us what to do. You're teaching us to take the good that they did and reproduce it and the bad that they did to leave it alone, dear God. You wanted your people to have examples, and Moses is our example we explore tonight, dear God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, all these blessings, and I ask in Jesus' name. And at the end, I have to say, not my will, but your will be done. And whatever you do, dear God, I know it's well done. Hallelujah. And I pray for all of the people that keep showing up to get Bible study lessons to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of you, dear God, that when it's all over and said and done, you will be able to tell each and every one of us, thy good and faithful servant, well done. Lord, all these blessings and others I ask in your Jesus' name. And that's our program for tonight. Hallelujah. The program for tonight. If anybody would like to say something, you still have a minute. If not, it's 9:30. We're going to end. And as always, I'm grateful and thankful to each and every one of you that called. And may God's blessings be with you and upon you till we meet again. And that's it for tonight. Be blessed.